next up is Power Players.
Hello, and thanks for listening to Ken Watmore on Power Players Radio, the radio ministry of 1615.tv. Today, we have the opportunity to have a ministry in the office with us, and it's Crossroads Ministry USA, and I have Kay Owen with me. And Kay, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Ken. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for joining me here.
You're welcome.
We're going to take some time today. We like to, you know, this show is something that we do normally. It's a sports-related show. But we recognized at one point that we had a platform we can share with different ministries so that we can try and get the word out about what you're doing and why. And we know it's all for the cause of Christ, but every ministry has their own little niche of how they're doing that. So
absolutely. And I really appreciate the opportunity to share with your listeners.
Oh, well, thank you for coming in. It's truly an honor. I love the ministry. We've had some time to meet before and talk about what Crossroads is all about. But let's go ahead and get some background on it. First, let's say this. Let's say what does Crossroads do, and then I'm going to ask you about Kay and what she does.
Okay. Crossroads Ministries is a ministry to the elderly who live and reside in care centers across our nation. We meet their spiritual and emotional needs. The care centers meet the physical needs, but there's rarely anyone to meet their spiritual and emotional needs, and that's the focus that we have.
Okay. So, and Crossroads is based out of Colorado Springs.
Correct.
And I'm going to go ahead and mention it now because I said I would. www.crossroadsusa.org is the website.
Correct.
People can contact you there through that and find out more about you. And we're going to talk about some programs that are available for people as well. But having said that, let's talk about how Crossroads got started. How did you get into Crossroads?
Well, my husband and I have been in the ministry for 45, 50 years, and we've pastored churches and done various things in the ministry. And several years ago, my parents became ill in Georgia. My mother had a severe, massive stroke, and my father had a spinal cancer. And we eventually had to make a decision to put them in a care center. So we chose Florida, where my youngest brother resides. And so I spent many, many days and many, many hours at that care center taking care of them through the years. And one thing I noticed while I was there, that so few people had visitors, and that when someone died, it was just like they closed all the doors and no one talked about it. And none of the residents had closure that they'd just lost a roommate or they'd just lost a neighbor. And so it was kind of heartbreaking for me. And as I came back to Colorado Springs, the Lord began to talk to me about doing something for the elderly. Mm-hmm. But my response was fairly negative. I had always either pastored or worked in women's ministry, and that was kind of my focus. And I'd never really had a heart to work with the elderly. I've always been around the elderly all my life. They've always been involved in my life. I grew up with my grandparents living with us. And so I've loved the elderly all of my life, but never really thought, well, wow, this is a ministry that I'm really just dying to do.
Right.
But as I left Florida and came back here, the Lord began to nudge me about it. And I said, no, I don't think so, Lord. This is not something I want to do. I was well in my 60s at the time, and I had a husband who had some health issues, and I worked full time. And I said, you need to find someone who's younger, has more energy, has more time, because I'm far too busy to do this. And I left it at that. That was the end of conversation as far as I was concerned.
Sure, because you knew and he didn't, right?
Right. So, but I began to have dreams. Both my parents then passed away, and I began to have dreams about horrible situations that my mother was in. And I couldn't handle it. I would wake up crying. And so finally I said to the Lord, you know, neither one of my parents are here, and I can't do anything for them. And in a still, small voice, he said to me, what about those you can't help? So I said, okay, Lord, I give up. I surrender. I'll do what you want me to do. But I said, you know, all we've ever done is pastor. Starting another ministry is a different ballgame. So I said, I'll do this, and I'll take your hand, and you'll have to do it. And I feel like I took his hand, and I've been flying with my hair on fire ever since. It's been a great experience, but fast moving.
Wow. And that's, how long ago did that start?
Well, I started the research in 2000.
Okay.
And then actually became a 501 or nonprofit in 2002. And then I still continued to work full time with my regular job up until 3 years ago. And then 3 years ago, the Lord released me to do the ministry full time. So I've only actually been working full time in the ministry for 3 years.
Sure. But you've been doing it for some time now.
Since 2002.
Yeah. Now, when it started, it sounds like it started with a visitation-type ministry.
Correct.
And I know it's grown since then.
Right. That's all we began with. I began to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we thought, well, we need to get others involved in this. So we wrote a training manual, began to have small training classes, and then started, you know, visiting churches, talking to pastors to get them involved. And then it just kind of snowballed from there and started having training classes in other cities, and people would hear me on radio interviews and call me and say, I'd like to do that in my area. How can I get started? And so it's just, in fact, I just got a call as I was coming up here because I write a monthly call, a spiritual column for a newspaper. And a lady called me and she said, she lives in Walsenburg, Colorado, and she said, I buy this newspaper just so I can read what you have to say every month.
Oh, that's great.
And she said, this last article struck me so strongly that I had to call you and tell you what it has meant to me. So I do some writing. But we have training classes. We work with all the care centers in Colorado Springs and some in Denver and some in other parts of Colorado, Kansas, Phoenix, and hopefully Albuquerque now, and Florida. I've just had a conversation with a foundation in Florida this morning, and so we hope to have some offices in Florida by the end of the year.
That's amazing. Can someone get a hold of your writing? How do they get in touch with that paper? What paper is it?
It's called Life After 50.
Okay.
It is a newspaper. I don't know. It's in several counties here in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure of the coverage, but I'd like to syndicate it in other newspapers across the nation because it's called Words of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe there are a lot of Christians out there who their only contact sometimes can be something in writing that comes to their door.
Sure. Well, you know, and let's encourage everybody to at least Google the newspaper again. What's the name one more time?
Life After 50.
Life After 50.
In Colorado Springs.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they can do it. And any of our media people that would like to talk to you about, you know, how you could get it syndicated. How can you get it with their paper or anything? I want to encourage them to contact you through crossroadsusa.org.
Yes.
And any of our listeners that want to get a hold of you as well, let's do that. Now, let's talk about specifically where this has gone. When you talk about now being able to train people and teach people a little bit, you actually are training chaplains.
Correct.
To be in attendance at nursing homes or assisted living facilities. I don't know the proper terminology.
It's okay.
You can tell me.
It changes through the years.
Yeah.
It used to be old folks home, then it was nursing home, and now it's called a skilled care center.
Okay.
That is the new term for nursing homes.
Okay.
And then you have the assisted living, those people who are able to live fairly on their own, but just can't sometimes prepare their meals or clean or do things like that.
Okay.
But they are able to get around and have a life, basically. And in the nursing home or the skilled care, it is 24-hour extended long-term care.
Okay.
And so we do have a training class, and we place volunteers after the training into care centers anywhere that they're located. And then several years ago, we were approached with people wanting to become chaplains.
Mm-hmm.
So we put together 2 years ago a chaplaincy school, and we've just completed our second graduation. And people, it is an on-hands class. They must live or be able to attend the classes in Colorado Springs because of they will be doing their internship while they're going to school as well.
Right, and that it's a long class.
It's 9 months.
9 months.
It's pretty intense. Basically, you're required to have your BA and Bible school or a BA from a Bible school before you can attend this class.
Right.
It's a pretty intense class that we go into a lot of material that we feel needs to be in a professional chaplain's life. They're much more than a pastor. They are a professional chaplain.
That's awesome. You know, I mean, there's so many of these online PhD. You can buy this and that. This is serious school, and it's for people who are truly desiring from the standpoint of God's moved my heart this way to do this for a job. That's awesome.
Well, it was funny because the first year we had a man. I can't say young man because he was about 73 years old, 74. He'd accepted the Lord when he was 72, and I came to Colorado Springs to a Bible college, and then he heard about our chaplaincy school, and he went, okay, I want that under my belt too. I just want to be a chaplain. I want to have the credentials. And he had no intentions of, when he came into the class, to really get involved with the elderly. He just wanted to be a chaplain. And he's just now becoming the director of our office in Phoenix, and he's 76 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So at first it was a, you know, I just want to get this done. And through discipleship, he was able to learn, and his heart is transformed.
Right.
I can see that whole story unfolding for sure.
It was amazing because his heart is so changed toward the elderly. And then this year we had a young man who came in, and he was not interested in the elderly. He just wanted to be a chaplain. But this class changed his life, and that's what he says. He says, this class has taught me what it is to have the compassion of Christ to others. And he said, it's literally changed my life and how I relate to older adults.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, let me go back a little bit to out of the school part of it and back to just Crossroads as a whole. And you told me how Crossroads started. And, you know, this is an area where we're called to serve, you know, and I really believe that. What can somebody expect to go in there and just to meet you guys and start to say, okay, I want to be involved. I feel like I'm called here, but I don't really know where to start. I mean, do I just go visit some people at a skilled facility or what?
Well, I had a lady call me this year, and she said that she called at Christmas time several care centers, and they said they had no one for her to visit. Things are getting fairly tight because of HIPAA regulations and because of elder abuse and things like that. They've tightened down on the care centers of allowing people to come in. Excuse me. So you need to go through our training, fill out an application. Then we take that all to the care center. We already have relationships usually established with the care center. They give us names of residents who need one-on-one visitation or who need Bible studies or if they need a worship service or whatever their needs are in that care center. Then we find volunteers to match the needs that the care center has. And our emphasis is on one-on-one. We want to build relationships with the residents. We want them to know that they've not been forgotten, that they're loved, and God cares about them, that everybody has a purpose in life. Doesn't matter your age. God's purpose does not go away when you turn 70, because I'll be 70 here in just a few weeks. And I very much have a purpose in my life. And I have a director who's 85. I have the other director who's 76. And so there's no end to God's purpose with age. So we want to go in, build relationships with them, let them know they're loved, and God has a purpose for them in life. God has hope for them. And so they're assigned to specific residents, and they visit those residents on a timely basis. It's a regular basis, a consistent basis, because they've had so many losses in their life. They've lost their home. They've lost a spouse, usually. About 90% of the people who reside in the skilled care are widows. And so the scripture is very emphatic about us taking care of the widows and our responsibility to the widows. But it also, the scripture gives us many, many examples of just taking care of the elderly. Timothy took care of his mom, and Jesus took care of his mom. And so we are exhorted by the Lord to take care of the elderly, to rise in their presence, to respect them and to honor them. And so many of our elderly people do not feel that anymore. I went in one day to visit a lady, and she said, "Why are you coming to visit me?" And I said, "Because you're loved." She says, "No, I'm not." She said, "I'm a throwaway. I'm a disposable person." I went, "Why would you feel that way?" She said, "I read it in a newspaper article that my generation is disposable. we're throwaway. And I said, that is a lie, because I said, God does not have disposable or throwaway people.
That's right.
And so they go to the care centers and they feel very lonely and depressed and forgotten. And so we want to assure them that God has not forgotten them. And he sent us there with a message of love to them to let them know they've not been forgotten.
Yeah, that's excellent. You know, and I actually, you know, I always try and be transparent and real on this program. And from this, tell you what I'm gathering, and maybe you can correct me if okay. I say this wrong. There's a lot of people who want to go and volunteer, and they feel that they're called to do it, and they feel that there's an obligation to do it as
right.
well. But the encouragement to get involved in a program like yours, mm-hmm. from what I'm reading, is this. If somebody just goes and visits, you're just another relationship that goes away after you visit.
Right.
But in your program, they actually can connect and develop mm-hmm. a relationship that mm-hmm. continues and
right.
maintains the one-on-one relationship. So you're not just another face that comes
right.
and goes, because that's what these people expect a lot of times is,
right.
oh, you're just another person.
Mm-hmm.
Great. You come in, read me a Bible verse and pray with me, and then mm-hmm. I'll never see you again.
Right.
Is that right?
Absolutely. And we don't want that. We want relationships, because relationships is everything. First of all, we have a relationship with the Lord. We have a relationship with our family. We have a relationship with our friends. And so we want to build relationship with them. We want to become their friends. We want them to know through our acts of love and compassion that Jesus is live and real.
Mm-hmm.
And so with visiting them on a consistent basis, then we're able to build that relationship. And I tell our volunteers in the training class, we're here for the long haul. We're not sprinters. We're here.
Right.
We're long-distance runners with this issue. And so we want to be here when they need them. And I'll say, if you can't go, then you need to let me, because they don't need another loss in their life.
That's
They've
right.
had too many losses. And so when you make this decision, I want you to commit to it.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty set on people making commitments and sticking to them.
Sure.
I'm not, my generation says that on a handshake, you commit, and that's the end of the story.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I've always done business that way as well. And, it is, kind of lost nowadays.
It is. Mm-hmm.
A handshake, even someone's word,
right.
doesn't necessarily mean what right. it used to. Well, I would encourage everybody that's listening, again, crossroadsusa.org. I want them to go there. If you have an inclination, or if God's pulling on your heart right now to get involved in a program like this, talk to Kay or your staff there and mm-hmm. and see what it's all about, because I would encourage you to get involved on a real level, not just a one-time visit level, because
right.
it's not doing the service that you think it
no,
might be.
We like I said, we want to build relationships. And we have a DVD, mm-hmm. and it's on YouTube.
Okay.
And they can go to The Forgotten Generation, Crossroads Ministries USA, and pull up our DVD.
Oh, good deal.
And they can watch that, and that'll give them a lot of information on just knowledge about the ministry and what we do.
Sure. Well, now let's talk about something that's important to every ministry. And I know it's not the most important thing, but it is so important, and that's, what do you guys need? I mean, I know you have needs. Every ministry does. What do you need?
Well, several things. The first of all, we need prayer. We need,
that's right.
We're always looking for committed, dedicated prayer warriors to pray with us
mm-hmm.
on a long-term basis. And we have a prayer update that we can send you and let you know their prayer needs and what's happening and how your prayers have been answered. The second thing we need is volunteers. We need volunteers across the nation to get involved. If you just want to go by yourself and visit several people, we have the resources to help you get started to do that. And if you want to get your church involved, we have resources to help you know how to get your church involved as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing is finances, of course, mm-hmm. because we're donor-based. All of our money comes from individuals or corporations or churches.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that it is the responsibility of the church to take care of the elderly.
Yeah.
When we first began this ministry, people said, oh, we should get grants. So we wrote up a grant. We had spent a lot of time preparing grants. We never received not one mm-hmm. dime from grants. And this is secular, just in the world grants. And so
sure.
I went to the Lord and I said, I'm baffled. I don't understand it here. And he said, I never told you to do that.
Right.
He said, the responsibility is of the church. So I said, okay, I'll move my emphasis to the church.
Yeah.
And but the pastors have not been open as well. A lot of them have their own agendas or their own focus, and they'll say, well, I don't have time. Well, what we're trying to get the pastors to see is that we want to come alongside of them. We'll do the work. We'll do all the training. We'll do everything for them. But we're missionaries. We're outreach missionaries in their local neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the Lord said we're supposed to start anyway, is at our own hometown and work out. So we want to help the pastors fulfill God's command in taking care of the elderly, especially in their own neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're always looking for churches who want to come alongside of us and partner with us. We're always looking for corporations, anybody who has money that they would like to donate to the elderly, the cause of the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
We would very much appreciate that.
Hmm. So with churches, if a church doesn't currently have a program, and a lot of churches do have a program where they try and incorporate taking care of the elderly or visitations and things like that, which is great. But again, you've got a more sophisticated program.
Right.
And if a church needs something like that, you can come alongside that church and kind of provide that same means of facilitating.
Right. In a lot of churches, we find out that they have a program, but it's to their own congregation.
Yeah.
It's not an evangelistic program. It's not an outreach program. Because the Lord said that we are responsible, first of all, to the elderly Christians, but we also have a responsibility to the elderly non-Christians.
Mm.
And our volunteers and chaplains are right now leading these elderly people in care centers. They're leading 5 to 10 a week to the Lord.
Wow.
That's more than most churches.
Yeah, that's right.
Do. And so we believe we're very much missionaries, and we're doing the work of the Lord in evangelism and sharing the gospel of the good news. And I just think it's an incredible ministry that I think every church in America needs to be involved in.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I want to encourage everybody one more time. Go to crossroadsusa.org, and you can get in touch with Kay or anybody on the staff there.
Correct.
To talk to them about getting involved, to support them in prayer, support them financially.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time right now when everybody needs help. And,
yes.
You know, this is a good, good, solid ministry that needs your help, too. So crossroadsusa.org. And, Kay, coming up in this last little part of our show here, I would just ask you, and this is kind of putting you on the spot, so sorry about that ahead of time. Any particular stories that you would have, one that stands out or anything like that?
Well, we have many, many stories. I could probably spend several hours here telling you stories. But couple that we met, they were 98 years old when we met them, and their goal was to live to be 100 and celebrate their 100th birthday together.
Wow.
And she passed away when she was 99, but he lived to be 100. And one day I went in to see him, and he was feeling pretty lonesome. He'd kind of given up after she passed away. It was very difficult for him. And so he said to me, you know what's wrong with this place? And I went, what? He said, there's no children here.
Oh, wow.
He says, where are all the children? He said, I miss seeing them. And he said, a lot of people here don't know their name. They don't know who they are. And I said, well, what do you think that is? He says, because when they check in the door, they check out their brain.
Hmm.
He said, they've lost their purpose for life. And so I said, well, what do you do to keep your mind active at 100 years of age? And he says, well, I listen to the news, I listen to the radio, I listen to tapes, because his eyesight had gotten bad. And he said, I do anything I can to keep my mind active. And then we met another lady. She was well in her 90s. She published her first book at the age of 91.
Wow.
And incredible lady. She had been severely disabled all of her life.
Mm.
And then when her mother couldn't take care of her, they moved in a care center together. And then her mother passed away, and she was still living there. And always had a smile on her face, even though her body was very crippled. And she said, and she wrote all these wonderful little poems and everything that somebody said, we should get those published. And they did when she was 91. But she said, I can pray. She said, I can do all of these things. And so And then we make blessing blankets, mm-hmm. and we make blankets that when somebody's in the dying process, that we anoint the person, and then we anoint the blessing blanket, and we put it around their shoulders, and we leave it on them until they pass away. Mm-hmm. And so then when they pass away, we give it to a family member that's very close to them. And when they get lonesome, they can hold this blanket, and it smells like the person they've just lost. It has that mm-hmm. scent and that smell. And we've gotten a lot of stories back that this has been such a blessing for them. It's just changed their life. It's just helped them to remember their loved one. So yeah, just many, many, many stories. And we've had healings. Our volunteers go in and they pray for people and they're on life support. And the next day they go in and they're in the dining room eating. Hmm. And there's people that they're family have prayed and prayed and prayed for them for years to accept the Lord, and they've been pushed away and pushed away. So this one volunteer went in and she said, you know, that because they'd call a family from California to say he's in the dying process and he won't live. Mm-hmm. So their prayer was that somehow he could find Jesus before he passed away. So the volunteer just walked up to him, and she prayed with him the day prior to that. And she walked up to him and she took his hand and she said, you know, she said, you have such a lovely family. Don't you want to know that you can spend eternity with them? Mm. And he hesitated and he said, yeah, you're right, I do. And she says, well, would you like to accept Jesus so you can have that assurance that you can spend eternity mm. with your family? And he said, yes. So she prayed with him and he accepted the Lord. And the family was just so ecstatic. And they went back to California because he didn't die. Mm. So it's just amazing stories.
That is amazing. And it's funny how God can put somebody else in place to do that. I went through the same experience with my mom before my mom passed away. I mean, we had plenty of people praying for mm-hmm. her. I had shared Christ and the message of salvation with her so many times. And, you know, she just didn't want to have anything to do with it. And mm-hmm. when she was dying, I was there at the hospital with her. And in comes this woman who I had never met, but my mom knew. And she came in and she said very similar to the mm-hmm. same thing, you know, and I had literally been talking to my mom in the week prior at the hospital about this. And, she wouldn't listen to me.
Right.
And then this woman came in and talked to her about Christ and just kind of in a really simplistic mm-hmm. way,
right.
maybe taught me a little something about mm-hmm. sharing too. But my mom said, yeah, I do want to accept Christ. And she gave her life to him before mm-hmm. she died. She went to hospice the next day. The day after that, she passed away.
But she's
with the Lord now, yes. and I'll see her again. So
that we lead so many to the people to the Lord just hours or days prior to them dying. And so we know that we have a purpose. We know that we're sent to them right then at that moment.
That's right.
But our volunteers are doing a tremendous job. Hmm. They're so faithful, and our chaplains are just wonderful. And so we want to see this, because only 5% of the care centers have chaplains on staff.
Wow.
But we want to work with the staff as well. We want to love them. We want to know that we want them to know that what they're doing is a tremendous job,
yeah.
taking care of their physical bodies. But we also want them to know we want to be there to share Christ with them
yeah.
and give them hope and purpose.
Well, that's great. And, you know, a lot of the key is that if you're willing to commit and, you know, volunteer mm-hmm. to do God's mm-hmm. purpose, it's amazing what he can do through you. And I want to encourage everybody again to go to crossroadsusa.org. Kay, anything else you'd like to say before we
close?
Well,
I just want to, again, thank you for this opportunity, and it's a wonderful blessing for us. And we'd love to hear from anyone that has a question. We get a lot of questions. Can you recommend a care center? And we do the best we can. Of course, we don't know a lot of, you know, care centers across the nation,
sure.
but we do the best we can, and we're able to pray with people, and we're here for anyone who needs our help.
Excellent. Well, again, Kay Owen, crossroadsusa.org. Everybody check that out. Get involved. I'm Ken Watmore, your host of Power Players Radio, the radio ministry of 1615.tv. Check us out every day, Monday through Friday from 9 to 10.